So we've now reached 11 o'clock, so we'll start the stream officially. We have 77 people in. Some more people might join us as they come. Certainly, it's not a problem. And if in any of our future streams you are to join us late, if you want to, you can just slide it back and start at the beginning and jump around a little bit if you have arrived late. So just because you're coming late doesn't mean you need to miss the stuff at the beginning. But certainly, it's great to have so many people who've been able to join us. As I'm sure you're all aware because you're on the stream, we've had to cancel our services across the UK and Ireland because of the coronavirus. Certainly, this is something that we never wanted to do as a national ministry team. This is pretty much up there with one of our nightmares. But it's great that we're able to find other ways to meet and interact. And one of the things that I find so striking in all this is it's really helped hit home to us that, so certainly it's great that we're all able to be here together. But one of the things that the coronavirus and having to cancel the services has really helped hit home for us is the fact that church isn't just about a building. It's not just about a place or a time. It's about the members. It's about you and me. It's about us as the body of Christ. And as we've had to cancel our services, and I know some of our services throughout the UK and Ireland had to cancel last week, I know that some of our other churches in Europe have had to cancel before this. Services have been cancelled in Canada and elsewhere. So very much the coronavirus that we're facing isn't just a national problem, it's a global problem. It's one that we're all struggling with, one that we're all facing at the moment. But certainly, as we've had to cancel these services, it's amazing that we've found other ways to connect. And one of the things we hope to do is to use YouTube here as a platform so that we can keep broadcasting services to people and keep people in contact. But it's also been encouraging to know ways in which we can reach out to one another, be that through text messages, be that through technology, or it's not really your strong point. Perhaps you can think about writing letters to people. Certainly the post still seems to be operating fine. So it may be that this is maybe a time where you can write a letter to even your neighbor down the street. So it's amazing how even though we're facing this crisis, we are coming together. But certainly when we think of how the coronavirus has affected us all, it's not just cancelling services. I know for many of us that we are probably to work at home, especially if that's where your children are at the time. But I even know of people whose jobs have already been affected by this crisis and this disaster. So certainly it's one that's affecting not just us nationally, not just our own personal freedoms and rights, but it's having a very real impact on our members. And so certainly when we think about this, please do keep praying for our members in this regard. One of the things recently that we've experienced is Greg Williams has written a letter to address this crisis. So both Greg Williams and the European Superintendent for Grace Communion International, James Henderson, they wrote to ask us if we would spend time tomorrow in a day of prayer and fasting. And if we're not able to do it tomorrow, perhaps we can do it a week later on the 29th. So the idea is that we would all come together at the same time, and we would be able to come before God and offer up our prayers that he will intercede and that his light will shine even in this dark situation. And if you're thinking of praying praying and fasting, it's important to remember that if you are going to fast, you should really consult a medical professional first if you have any existing health conditions. And certainly if you suspect you have the coronavirus, it might not be the right time to fast, and it might be difficult to get a hold of medical professionals. So while we're encouraging people to take part in this, we need to be sensible, we need to be wise about it, and certainly we need to remember that fasting doesn't necessarily mean a full 24 period without food and water. Depending on your personal circumstances, it might be appropriate to still have water or to change the time of that. But the thought is that we will be able to come together at this time and pray together. And I think there's a great reassurance to know that when we're going to be praying and fasting about this, we're not doing it on our own, you know, that our brothers and sisters around the world are joining in with these prayers. And when we're praying to God, we're not praying to some far off, distant God asking him to intercede. No, by praying and fasting, we are participating in God's love for our members, for this world, because God is certainly already present with us in this situation, and his light is shining, as we can see through the way we've been able to connect and communicate, even though we've been cut off from each other physically. So certainly, that's one of the things we hope everybody will do. One of the things that I kind of would like to talk about is a little bit about how we kind of see this working with this streaming. First off, I know that several of our congregations are trying to organize their own way of having services. I was speaking to Shirley McLean in our Luton congregation last night, and I know that she was trying to organize some connection between the members there in Luton using the WhatsApp, I think it was, or maybe Facebook Messenger. And additionally, I know that Birmingham, for example, is trying a different platform this afternoon, which they hope may be more interactive. One of the things nationally we wanted to do is to try and set up a YouTube channel. And the reason we wanted to use YouTube is because a lot of people are able to access YouTube. It doesn't require you to download any application, and the requirements for actually running it aren't too strenuous other than a regular connection. So hopefully the idea is that people will be able to check in this regularly. I know that live streaming might not always be ideal for everyone. Perhaps your internet connection isn't quite up to the live stream. If that's the case, we hope to embed a copy of this video afterwards so that you can go on and still keep in touch. We also hope to offer another live stream tomorrow at 11 a.m. So same time, and we'll be streaming here from Market Harbour once again. But in that stream, we hope to cover a different message, so that way, you know, you can stream in either day, or you can stream in both, and you should still get some value of that. We also hope to offer a midweek Bible study at 7:30 on a.m. and again, that will be using YouTube. So the idea is that we'll be able to have a Bible study and have some nourishment, spiritual nourishment, midweek. To give you some exciting news, it won't just be me who will be doing this. My father will be able to come into the office, James Henderson, the European superintendent. So some of the streams will be from him as well. But because of the technical requirements, I'm doing the first one, and hopefully it should all work out. So we know not everybody has an internet as well. So if there are ways that you can share this message with others, we're looking to explore what we can do from the office to help people who don't have an internet connection. We also sent out an edition of In Touch this last Thursday, which hopefully most of you should have received either yesterday or today, which talks a little bit about why we had to cancel our services, as well as has some updates of some things that had happened. We hope that rather than waiting another month until we send out something from the office, that in 2 weeks' time, we will send out another mail shot to our members with some more information in that about some of the resources we have, and to help people in particular who don't have access to the internet and who aren't able to see our services live. So certainly that's just a kind of update of some of the things we're thinking of. We certainly appreciate any ideas you have, or certainly if you want to be involved in anything. If you want to send us an email, the National Ministry Team's email address is nmt@gracecom.church. So you can feel free to email any of those things to us at any time. At the moment, we're going to move on to the message part, but before we start that, perhaps you can just join me in saying a prayer. Our Father in heaven, our wonderful Lord and Saviour, we thank you so much that we're able to meet and connect in this way, that even though physically we can't come together, and it breaks our heart to know that this may go on for an extended period of time, Lord, but we're so thankful that even though we can't meet physically, that there are ways that we do have technology so that we can still come together, that we can speak together, that we can chat together, that we can still find some way to praise you, Lord, because we know that even in the darkness of this situation, you are present, that you are with us and that you love us and that you are for us, Lord. So Father, we thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. We thank you that no matter what happens to us here at the moment, we always have hope because of your Son, Jesus Christ, that he came to this world so that he can reveal you to us, so that we can know who you are, so we can know that you love us and that you desire to save us from our sin, to save us from the evils of this world. And so, Father, we come before you now and we ask for your intervention in this situation that isn't just affecting us as a church. And it's not just a national problem we're facing, but a truly global problem. And Father, we just ask that in all this misery and difficulty we're going through, that your light will shine. And Father, we know that as your followers, as your disciples, we have a part to play in that. That we are called to join in your ministry to this world, that we are called to proclaim your gospel, your good news, so that people can have hope in this time of darkness. So Father, we just pray that the rest of the service goes well, and we pray that everybody's connections remain constant and remain steady, and we thank you for everything that you do for us, and we say this all in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For the sermon today, we want to talk on Mark chapter 12, on a section of scripture that probably most people here would be fairly familiar with. Certainly, when we read it, I think most of you guys will have some idea of talking about this scripture with others. Certainly, it is one of the most common ones. But it's Mark 12 and chapter 28. Now, we ran into some technical difficulties, so I had hoped to be able to put the scriptures up on the screen for you, and I hope in future videos that may be possible, but it's not possible at the moment. So if you have a Bible, please do open it to with me, and please turn to Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And in my New International Version, this has the helpful subtitle, The Great Commandment. The Great Commandment. So if your congregation has been following along with the lectionary, you will know that we've been working through the Gospel of Mark since the start of the year. And we've gotten up to the stage where Jesus has entered Jerusalem for the final time. And he's just entered Jerusalem, he's cleansed the temple, and just after he had the cleansing of the temple, a lot of the leaders came to Jesus, and they would come with difficult questions trying to catch him out. So in Mark 11, we have an example of where the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, we're told, they come to Jesus trying to question his authority. On what authority is he giving these teachers? His teachings, and Jesus gives them a response that they're not able to deal with, and so they get frustrated and begin to plot his death. But it's not just the chief priests, it's not just the Pharisees who are connecting with him. There are others too who are coming and confronting him. So we also hear that the Pharisees, the Herodians, are coming up and asking Jesus difficult questions, trying to catch him up, trying to test this new teacher that has come to Jerusalem and made such an entry by cleansing the money changers from the temple. And just before the section of scripture that we want to look at today, which is Mark 12 and verse 28, it's actually the Sadducees who come to Jesus with a question about the resurrection. And that's kind of critical, is that you understand that Jesus has been tested by pretty much all the religious experts, and not just from one faction like the Pharisees. We have the chief priests, we have the Herodians, we have the Pharisees, we have the Sadducees. We see them all coming together and asking Jesus, trying to catch Jesus out in his teachings. And why are they doing this? Well, I think in a large part because the people are responding to what Jesus is saying. The people are listening to his teachings, and they are jealous of these crowds that are forming around Jesus and listening to what he has to say. So this is the kind of setting that we have for the passage we're going to cover today in Mark chapter 28, Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. So I'm going to read from my Bible here. Once again, I apologize. I'm not able to put it up on the screen today. So if you have your Bible, please do read with me. Mark 12 and verse 28. One of the teachers of the law, one of the scribes, came and heard them debating. So they had heard the debates that had happened with Jesus and the Sadducees in particular, but perhaps as well the Pharisees and the Herodians and the other interactions they have. So we have this teacher of the law who's heard what Jesus has said before. And he says, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Of all the commandments, which is the most important? It's interesting when I think about that question, because sometimes I think it's a very human response that we want to kind of skip straight to the important topic straight away. There might be loads of different commandments in the Bible, but immediately the one we care most about is which one is most important. And certainly this isn't a new question, and it wasn't a new question at the time Jesus was asked it. I suspect that this was a question that was often asked of teachers as a way to kind of ascertain about where their kind of doctrines lay, where their beliefs lay. And so here we have a teacher of the law, a scribe, who has been impressed by the good that Jesus has given. And he's come and he says, okay, Jesus, so what is, in your view, the greatest commandment, the most important commandment that we should follow? And one of the interesting things here is that the answer that Jesus gives isn't one that would have surprised the people at the time. I think the answer that Jesus goes on to say, and we'll read it in a moment, is one that certainly other teachers may have said as well. So Jesus isn't saying that the revelation he's giving here, that his teaching is somehow breaking from all traditions. No, but he is quite strong in his interpretation of it. So let's go on and read what is said here. So we're in verse 29 now of Mark chapter 12. The most important one, the most important commandment, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So Jesus's answer here is that we start with God. And his answer wouldn't have been one, as I said, that would have surprised many of the people in the audience at the time. Because he's actually quoting here from Deuteronomy. Because he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That when we come to worship our God, one of the things that is so important in our worship in God is recognizing that there is only one true God. There are no other gods out there. There is only one God who is worthy of being worshipped. But Jesus doesn't just give this one answer. He also ties it into his next answer, which is that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I think one of the things that when we think about how we love God and how we can love our neighbors, is that these two ideas, they can't be taken apart. That we can't love God and not love our neighbors, because if we do that, then we're not truly loving God. Certainly, we're not loving God in the way that he's worthy of being loved. The only thing we have to say on that is that God created everybody else we are with. God set us in the community with people. God didn't just create us on our own, hoping that we would worship him. He created us as a community of believers. He created us to share our lives with one another's. And it's interesting that, you know, with this coronavirus outbreak, that has become difficult. But in some ways, to me, it's really highlighted how imperative that is. That to just worship God on our own isn't something that isn't the way that we have been designed. We were designed to worship God and to love God by loving our neighbors, by loving those that God has placed us with. And likewise, if we want to come and love our neighbors and we don't show the love of God when we love our neighbors, then aren't we just holding back our love from them? Because surely, you know, when we think of our own lives, when we think of how important our faith is and how much we get out of our relationship with God, certainly for me, I think that's a fundamental part of my identity, of who I am. And I know that is true for many of you who are watching this as well. So when we come to showing love to others, one of the greatest ways we can show our love to others is to help them understand who God is, who the God is that has been revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ, and help people to understand that God isn't against them, that God isn't some distant, angry God who is just looking to catch them out or looking to punish them, but rather the God we worship, the God who sent his Son to us, is a God who desires a relationship with them, is a God who is for them. So when Jesus gives this answer to this teacher of the law, I don't think the teacher of the law would have been surprised, because what Jesus does is he takes scriptures that were well known at the time and he uses them in his answer to them. So Jesus is saying to them, this is the most important commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. There's that idea that God is, calling us to love him with all of our being. It's not just enough to have a kind of intellectual pursuit of God. It's not just enough to turn up in a church service and sit there every week. And physically, you're present. Physically, you think you're loving God. But we need to engage with God with all of our being, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with all of our strength. And this is what we who are followers of Jesus as yourself. And here Jesus tells us there's no commandments greater than these. This is what the crux of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, is that we must dedicate our lives, all of our being, to loving God. And the way we love God is through loving our neighbors as well. We can't fully love God without bringing our neighbors into the mix. And likewise, we can't fully love our neighbors if we're holding back from them our love for God and how important God is to our lives and how important God is to their lives. But it's interesting what the teacher goes on to say. So the teacher says, "Well said, teacher," referring to Jesus, the man replies. This is verse 32, if you're following along in your Bible. "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." It's interesting here because this is a kind of indication to me that this man had actually been following what Jesus had been doing. Because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, one of the first things Jesus did upon arrival in Jerusalem is to clean out the money changers from the temple. And in many ways, Jesus set himself up against the temple authorities. And one of the main roles of the temple was very much to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices. And this man seems to understand that it's not just enough to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices at the temple. What is more important is how we conduct our lives and how we conduct our lives in light of our relationship with God and our relationship with our neighbors. So certainly that's something to keep in mind, is that the question that's being talked about here very much comes down to how we conduct ourselves, how we live out our lives. And Jesus, I think, gets to this in the next verse that we're going to cover in verse 34. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, Jesus said to the man, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Mark is such a dramatic gospel account. And I love that description that, you know, all these groups of people had come up against Jesus and they had questioned his teachings. And each time they questioned his teaching, Jesus had answers that none of them could refute, that none of them could deal with, they had questions that Jesus answered with such authority and surety that it reaches the point that no one is even willing to come and ask him these kind of questions challenging his authority. But one of the interesting things here is that Jesus says to this man, "You're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from the reign of God." But one of the amazing things I think there is that this man was here standing next to the Son of God when Jesus is saying this. So I think there is very much a spiritual element in this saying, but when this man is saying that he's not far from the kingdom of God, I think in many ways it's a declaration about who Jesus is. That Jesus is the one, the ruler, the king that of the kingdom of God. And here this man is asking his question and he's standing right next to Jesus. But there's a spiritual element here because one of the things that we see in this interaction is we have this beautiful description of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow God's commands. And it's to love God with all our heart, with all of our being, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And this teacher responds to that by saying, "Yes, that's true. You know, that's something that I wholeheartedly agree with." But I think that, you know, you could go around a great many people, whether they were Christian or not, and they would take this saying and say, yes, there's a lot of truth in there. Yes, that's something that we agree with. But it's not just about agreement. That's not what Jesus is highlighting here. When he's saying you are not far from the kingdom of God, he's saying, yes, you have the understanding. But now is the time to put it into practice, that if we want to engage and be part of the kingdom of God, it's not enough just to believe that we should worship God with all our heart and with all our being. It's not just enough to say that we're happy to love our neighbors as ourselves. We need to actually see how we can put that into practice in our lives. How can we not just talk the talk, but live what we're saying, to live the teachings of Jesus Christ. So certainly, as I read this passage, that's one of the things that strikes me. And as we deal with this coronavirus outbreak, and to be honest, it, it's really alarming seeing the panic it's caused worldwide. I mean, one of the things that I'm sure most of you have experienced and has just blown me away is the panic buying that we're seeing in supermarkets. We're being told by the government, we're being told by the supermarkets that there's enough food for everyone. And yet everybody is going out and trying to buy as much food as they can for themselves. And I'm certain that there are people around this country who have bought so much food, there's no way they're going to be able to eat it all before it perishes, certainly when it comes to the fresh products that are available. And, you know, as Christians, how should we respond in light to things like panic buying? How should we respond when it comes to should we self-isolate or not? And part of it is as we read this passage, it just really strikes out to me that this is something that we are called to do. We're called to love our neighbor. And if we're loving our neighbor, maybe we should only be buying two packets of pasta instead of three. Or maybe we should be making sure that other people can have toilet paper as well as just ourselves. So it's amazing that this passage in many ways seems very applicable to what we are going through at the moment with the coronavirus. Because at this time when everybody is panicking, it's so easy to internalize everything, to think about yourself. And it's so important that we who are Christians, who are called to participate in God's love to this world, look to show love to our neighbors by not putting ourselves first. Because the interesting thing in all that is we're called to love God and to love our neighbors before we're called to love ourselves. And I think one of the most powerful things is even though the original audience that Jesus is telling this to at the time doesn't understand this, it is that Jesus is about to demonstrate how God does this. He's about to give his life for everybody there, even the people who are coming up and challenging them. He's about to die on a cross for them, just as he died on a cross for you and me. Jesus has decided that he loves his neighbors. He loves you and me so much that even though at this point in the Gospel of Mark, he's already predicted his death more than three times. And when he predicts his death, he says that he's going to not just die, he's going to suffer before he dies. And yet, because of his love for his neighbors, because of his love for us, he decides that he's going to go into Jerusalem. That he's going to face this death and willingly go into a situation where he knows he's going to suffer and be killed. And so we see here in Jesus' life how he doesn't just say this commandment, his life lives this commandment out. That he loves God so much with all of his being that even though he's putting himself in harm, he's gone to Jerusalem. He's gone to the place that is going to kill them. And he's preaching to the people who don't realize it yet, but who are his enemies, because they are the ones who in a few days' time from this will be calling for him to be crucified, will be calling for him to be killed. Jesus is living out this passage even as they speak. The kingdom of God that he's talking about as being near is being lived out in the life of Jesus Christ in this passage. And I think it's what's so powerful about this scripture is that with Jesus, we have someone who doesn't just tell us what we should be doing. He shows us what that looks like. He shows us how to live like that. And he invites us to be a part of his life and a part of his ministry. So I think certainly as we are tackling the coronavirus at this time, one of the important things we can be asking ourselves is even though we're not able to go to church the way that we normally do, even though we're not able to meet in a physical hall, even though we're not able to have refreshments with our brothers and sisters, how can we still worship God? How can we set aside perhaps time each day to pray and to ensure that even though we're not able to meet physically, we still have a connection with God? That we're still able to show love to our neighbors. And one of the amazing things I do think is that in all the difficulties we're facing, and certainly, you know, my wife Sinead works on the front line, and this Thursday she was moved on to coronavirus ward. And I know that certainly from her accounts and her stories, how desperate the situation is for some of the people who are suffering with the virus. But we also know that the isolation that this is going to cause is going to cause real poverty for people, a real mental difficulty for people who aren't able to have any human contact because perhaps they live on their own. And when we think of how we can love our neighbors, I think we all have a part to play in that. We all have some way we can offer encouragement to the people in our life, be it through a text message, be it through a phone call or a letter or an email or whatever we have available to us. Perhaps there are people we can help with shopping or other ways. So certainly at this time, let us think on these words that we have been given, that Mark has recorded here in his gospel. Think not just what it means to agree with the idea that we should love God with all of our being and love our neighbors as ourselves, but how we can actually put that into practice in our lives. So that's the message for today. I would like to end with a prayer, and then I'll talk a little bit about the services that we'll have for the people who join the stream slightly later. But if you join with me now, I'll say a prayer for us. So please bow your heads and join with me. Our Father in heaven, our wonderful Lord and Savior, we thank you so much that you loved us. You loved us so much that you sent us your Son, Jesus Christ. And you didn't just send him to be with us, Lord. You sent him so that he will die for our sins. And Father, we thank you so much that Jesus gave his life willingly for us, that he gave his life so that we might have his life, so that we might have his intimate relationship with you, the Father. And Father, we thank you so much for that. We know that that should transform everything about us, Lord, but we thank you that you have poured out your Holy Spirit upon us to help with that. But Father, we ask at this time that you help us that even though we're not able to meet together physically, that we still prioritize you in our lives, that we still make you the center of everything that we do, that we love you with our whole being, Lord, that with everything we have, let us give it to you, Lord. And Father, we know that to do that, we need to love our brothers and sisters. We need to love the people you have put us with in our lives, that you need us to show your love to our families, to our spouses, to our friends, to our employers and colleagues and co-workers. And Father, we know this is an enormous task, and we know that we can't do it through our own strength, but we know that we don't operate through our own strength, that in everything you are present with us, that you have given your Holy Spirit and that you strengthen us and empower us. So Father, we ask that you send us out, and even though we can't be sent out physically, you help us to make a difference in this dark situation, that you help us to hold up your light to this world so that they can see the love that they have from you, that they can see the hope that they have in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that no matter what we face in this world, you are more powerful, that you will overcome through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we just hand over the rest of this day to you, Lord, and we ask that you be present in everything that we do. And we just ask that you help us all to stay safe. And we say this all in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the end of the service we have today. We're hoping to have another service at 11 a.m. tomorrow. So we really hope that you will join us. We have about 123 people who are watching the stream at the moment, so that's quite encouraging. So the message tomorrow will be a different message, and we'll be following on from this passage to see what Jesus says and does next in Mark chapter 12. So if you want to read ahead, you can read ahead, Mark 12 from verse 35 to verse 44. So certainly, if you want to read ahead, you can do that. We'll be streaming live from 11 a.m. Hopefully we'll be able to improve some of the quality and the streaming performance of all this as things go along. But I thank you very much for being able to join the stream. And I'll end by saying may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.